Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, we get lots of questions about the CPP. Is it funded? How does it work? How much am I going to get? When should I take it?
Yeah.
CPP is an interesting topic of conversation.
And you and I look at the Canadian pension plan in two different ways. One is an income stream to the individual pensioner, so the Canadian who's been contributing to it. We also look at the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board, which, generally speaking, nobody even looks at that stuff.
Right. Don't know what that is.
And there's a lot of assumptions that are made. One assumption that is made is that whatever the pension plan makes is how they fund the payments that come to the individual who's receiving it, maybe over the age of 65 or what have you. And so there's been some misunderstandings. The Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board has been going across the country, I believe, talking about what they do and how they do it, so kind of give more clarity. And I think it's actually not helped. it's caused a bit more confusion in my mind.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to explain what happens. How does it work? Why I think the Canadian pension plan is giving poor returns to the pensioner, but the investments are doing well.
Right.
And so we can talk about that.
Okay, and to help us understand that a little bit, Charles Lamam is going to join us. He's a director of fiscal studies at the Fraser Institute. Charles, thank you for taking some time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm not sure we can do justice to the entire CPP and structure and how it works in 10 minutes, but I do want to maybe get down to brass tacks pretty quick, and let's talk a little bit about how the Canada pension plan, payments actually work. Maybe you can shed some light on that and the issue that Faisal had raised.
Okay, so let's try to avoid the fact that the Canada Pension Plan is being changed in starting next year over the next 7 years. So let's ignore that extra challenge. Basically, all Canadian workers, whether you're self-employed or employed by somebody, you're making payments into this program, and it's money coming off of your paycheck. If you're providing all the contributions that you can, you're putting in about $5,000 each year into this program. The way that the benefits work is that they're calculated on how many years you've contributed, how much your annual contributions are, and it depends on the age that you retire at. So you can get CPP benefits early on, but they come at a reduced rate. And they're supposed to replace about 25% of the average industrial wage. And so that's about $55,000 currently. So there's, you know, the reason for why we wrote our recent piece that was in the Financial Post is that there is a lot of misunderstanding about how the program works. But in particular, there's a big gap in knowledge between what you as an individual CPP contributor get in retirement, like what the rate of return is on your contributions, versus what the CPPIB, which is the entity that invests excess CPP contributions each year, and what they're generating in terms of returns. Those two things are very different, and oftentimes they get conflated, and I think the CEO of this investment board really added to some confusion, and we tried to clarify that. Lots to talk about. I'll leave it there and let you guys guide me as to where you want to go.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about then. So it's formula based, and I think people need to understand that.
Yes.
If the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board did a 20% rate of return, does that mean that a pensioner gets more money? Does it mean, you know, that?
How does it impact? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the impact to the average Canadian then?
Right. So if you're someone born after 1970, you're getting about 2.5% returns by the time you retire on what you've contributed over your working life.
So, Charles, let's just go over that really so people can understand that people on average are putting $5,000 a year in Canadian pension plan.
Currently, and it's going up. It will continue to go up, but there's been a pretty significant expansion that starts next year, and it goes up each year because the amount that you contribute each year is based on an average industrial wage, and that's going up. So let's say by the time you're in 2025, you could be making well over $6,000 in annual contributions, depending on what your income level is.
Right. So the formula that you went through to explain that 2.3% rate of return was you calculated how much a person has contributed into the pension plan, And then they look at what's the growth rate that they had in that pension plan that they've on their contributions, and then how much are they getting out of it? Is that a fair assessment to say?
Yeah, I mean it's a lot more complicated, but basically when we're trying to determine what the annual rate of return is, you're just trying to get a sense on if you put in some amount of money each and every year, what do you get back in terms of that in terms of return? And we're calculating that for the CPP program in particular. It's complicated by many factors, but on average you're getting anywhere between 2.3 and 2.5% by the time you retire. And so when you hear things in the news about the CPPIB, which is the entity that invests excess CPP contributions, getting double-digit annual rates of return, 11, 12%, you're thinking, okay, well, that means that I must be getting pretty good returns on my CPP contributions. That is not the case, and that's what people get confused by a lot. How this fund does has no direct impact whatsoever on how you do as an individual Canadian. Maybe let's talk a little bit about CPPIB. This is, you know, back in the 1990s, CPP was not a sustainable program. You know, right. People called it a Ponzi scheme. They were worried about not having CPP benefits when they retire. So what happened was the government created reforms, many of which, one of which was to raise the contributions, the amount that people contribute, to about 10% of their insurable earnings from about 5%. So a doubling of how much you had to contribute. And that generated an extra amount of money each and every year over and above what the CPP would pay out for benefits to Canadians. So let's say that all the revenues that you get from the payroll tax generated, say, $10 billion, but then they were paying out about $8 billion each year to current retirees. So the extra money, the $2 billion, was being put into this entity called CPPIB, and they were tasked with investing that extra money that Canadians put into CPP to generate returns to help fund the program into the future.
So, Charles, how does that differ from a regular pension plan that a company does?
Well, the company's pension plan is going to be 100% based on their contributions. We still have a system today, and we will in the future, whereby current contributors are funding current retirees. So there's still this redistribution in your own private plans. The money that you set aside each and every year goes to fund your retirement when you retire. But right now in Canada, there's a combination of money coming from this fund as well as from current working Canadians. And so this entity, CPPIB, has in recent years performed well. It has generated good returns on these contributions, and that's really the source of the confusion. People are conflating how well that fund is doing with how well they will do individually through the CPP, and it's giving rise to, you know, factually incorrect statements about the CPP providing a great deal to Canadians. It's actually not a very strong investment for virtually anybody, because you can do much better than between 2.3-2.5% investing that $5,000-$6,000 each year in a different investment vehicle. And not only is the rate that you get low, but there's a whole set of restrictions around the CPP.
Correct.
Unlike your private, say your RSP, if you're a young person, you're contributing to your RSP, you can pull out up to $25,000 to help fund a down payment on your first home, which is, you know, very nice if you're a young person in one of these high-priced housing markets in Canada. You don't have that option. You can't pull out your CPP money. You can't pass it on fully if you die early. If you end up dying when you're relatively young, you virtually lose all the money that you've contributed to the CPP over many years, and there's no ability to pull out any money for any emergency that you may need the money for if you lose your job.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of restrictions around the CPP beyond the simple fact that it's not giving individual Canadians a very high rate of return.
So Charles, we've got about less than 30 seconds to go. Would it be in the Fraser Institute's recommendation to tell the government to stop increasing the contributions and use this excess returns that the investment board is to help fund the pension plan? Or should they do something different? Because if they're making good returns and I'm still paying into the CPP to cover existing pensioners' requirements, why not just use the money that we've made in the board to pay off the to pay these pensioners so that I don't have to put so much out of my paycheck?
Or to reduce the contribution rate.
Correct.
But it's not that easy, right? So in order for CPP to just to sustain itself, like this entire program, the investment board needs to generate a rate of return of 4% just to sustain the program. Fortunately, they're doing better than that. But just to make the program sustainable, they have to do 4%, which is very interesting when you think about it. The investment board has to generate at least 4%, but you as an individual Canadian gets between 2 and 2.5%. It's very perverse, and I don't think anybody would sign up for a fund whereby the fund is doing almost double what the individual is doing. So my point in writing about this, and we've written and done a ton of research on it, is really just to explain to Canadians it's a very complicated subject. There's a lot of misperception and misunderstanding, and right now it's made all the more important because this program that we have is being expanded. So starting next year, there's going to be more money being taken off your paycheck to be put into CPP, and that will gradually occur up until 2025. So we're going to be putting more money into this program. We know that it's not generating strong returns, and that means necessarily that Canadians are going to save less in their private modes. They're not going to, not going to have the extra money to continue doing the same as they did before the expansion happens. And we're going to lose out now on a lot of the choice and flexibility that we have in these private modes, whether it's RRSPs, TFSAs, as more money goes into a program that's not really generating great returns for Canadians.
We got to leave it there, Charles. Thank you very much for your insights today.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Been joined by Charles Lamab, Director of Fiscal Studies at the Fraser Institute. We're going to talk about income, cash flow, rates of return, risk, legacy, all of the things that that a pension should provide to you and to support your lifestyle.
Yeah, because you're building your own pension when you transition to retirement. When you're living in retirement, you're living off that pension, all that savings of money that you've had over the years. We're going to talk about the biggest risks about that and how do you receive the income for life on Tuesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go to our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You want to learn how to get the most out of your tax returns? Well, stick around for the next segment. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.